Yes, that lion form
on the right, babe. Ha!
Not that Maggie's
back in town.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM, the fan, WFAN.
Yes! Say yes, sir! 102. McMonagle here with you on the fan, an hour earlier than usual, and good. Good. I'm glad to be on an hour earlier, breaking down that weekend and the week to follow. What a time to be here in New York sports. What a time. Come join me, 877-337-6666. Me and Fleagleman got you until the warm-up show at 4 a.m. 5 a.m. No, that's right, 5 a.m. I start an hour earlier, but I go the same amount of time. Yes! I'm so excited I can barely read a clock. As we get it going this weekend, little playoffs. Yankees and Mets continue to win. But let's start there with the two teams at the Garden. These two teams we've been talking about for a while now. These two teams, first time in since 1994, they've each won 50 games. Heading into the playoffs, the overall number one seed for the New York Rangers and the number two seed for the New York Knicks, who played Saturday. And we'll start there. We'll get to the Rangers two in the open as we're going to break down this whole weekend. And yes, two teams that won games, in my mind, in very similar fashion. And, for me, tell the story of how the rest of the series should go as well. And both teams did it kind of with their role players, with their bench. And that's certainly what the Knicks did on Saturday. They took down Philadelphia 111-104 in a game that, to me, signifies why the New York Knicks are going to win this series. Everything about this game went, for me, in the advantage of Philadelphia. And the Knicks still win this game. For me, when you head into the series, we talked about it, right? Yeah, we talked about the depth of the team, no doubt. But we also looked at what Philadelphia was dealing with, their superstar Embiid and Brunson. Brunson's the better player, and Brunson's going to have to score. There's no secondary scorer without Randle. And you have to, you know, DiVincenzo's going to have to be hot, hit a bunch of threes. They're going to have to get some secondary scoring from somewhere. And ultimately, in this game, if you look at what happened on Saturday, Brunson played arguably his worst game of the year. Let's just be fair. From the jump, you could tell he was off. He was hitting shots he normally hits. He was allowing them to, you know, for an undersized guy, we talk about how undersized he is and who cares. But he's getting blocked from behind. Multiple times getting a shot blocked or affected from behind, especially. He looked awful in this game, was off from the beginning. DiVincenzo was even worse, played limited minutes in this game. And then when you look at the other side, the Knicks had extreme trouble controlling Maxey, who goes for 33 points and gets to the basket almost at will, especially in the second half. And Embiid, I think, looked as good as you're going to see him in the series. Obviously, he retweaks the knee at the end of the first half when he has that unbelievable play to throw it off the backboard and dunk. His first dunk since coming back. He only had, I think they said he only had 9 or 10 dunks the entire season. But obviously, his first one since coming back, trying to keep that knee healthy. But if you look at how good he was, I thought they get out to that early lead against the Knicks in a building and a game and a scenario where I expected the Knicks to come out on fire. And instead, it was Philadelphia who came out. Brunson missing shots, DiVincenzo missing shots, and Embiid looking light years better than he did in the play-in game against Miami. Light years better. He was moving better. He was more physical. He was getting to the basket, getting to the foul line. He looked far superior. And for me, looking forward at the rest of this series, if you are going to play a game where Brunson is terrible, if you're going to play a game where DiVincenzo can't hit shots, if you're going to play a game where Maxey can't be stopped for Philadelphia, and you're going to play a game now moving forward with Embiid, who, let's be honest, there's no reason to think that that's not the best performance you're going to get out of Embiid this whole series. Is he capable of getting through an entire seven-game series, a hard-fought 5-6-7-game series? Is he capable of doing that? Is he capable of playing the physical nature and letting himself go and really testing it the way he did in game one when he comes up limp before the half ends? That first half of Embiid might be the best performance you get of him the entire series. And still, the Knicks and their bench and guys who really, Bogdanovich hits a ton of big shots. Bogdanovich was someone I was concerned about heading into this series. Someone who, since the trade, started to come around a little bit in the last few weeks, but has really been bad. Burks, forget about it, is even on the team. But that trade did not do anything for this team the way the OG and Anunoby trade did. But obviously, the two elements of this game, the two big features of this game, are the shot-making ability of Deuce McBride, first off. A guy who we thought of as a limited offensive player and a hustle defensive player and someone who could work inside a Thibodeau rotation, but ultimately a limited scorer in the NBA. And what he's transformed himself into, hitting five threes in this game and hitting big shot after big shot to the point where in the postgame, when Jalen Brunson is asked how they won the game and how they were able to finish it off in the fourth quarter, his answer was Deuce McBride, and rightfully so. And his emergence, what we've seen from him, and then what we get in the second half of this game was unbelievable. And if you're going to have nights when DiVincenzo is shooting the way he's shooting, I mean, McBride's on the floor all the important minutes of this game. With DiVincenzo on the bench. I mean, McBride was an extremely important piece of this game. And then coming off the bench as well, obviously, Mitchell Robinson, whose defense on Embiid is without question one of the two major factors in the game. And the difference of what he was able to do against Hartenstein or when OG was on him or whoever else was guarding him, he seemed to have a field day. And you could see in the game how important it was for the Knicks to score when Embiid was off the floor. Early on in this game, Embiid looked like a real problem and scared me as a Knicks fan. And watching that first half, everything I feared was coming to fruition. An off night for Brunson, where do you get the scoring from? Maxey being too quick and unstoppable at getting to the basket, and Embiid looking like a superstar and looking completely different. And yet, he tweaks the knee, yes, but Mitchell Robinson playing defense against Embiid and the way he locked him up, and it wasn't with help, and it wasn't with, you know, driving him into double teams. It was straight up man-on-man, Mitchell Robinson getting rebounds, and obviously that's another story. This team is an incredible rebounding team, and you're getting it from all over. I know the 76ers are going to try and figure out a way to get more rebounds, but I don't know how you do it when you get guys like Hart, who's the best rebounder in the NBA, 6'5 and under. I mean, they get it from all over the place. This Knicks team, that's the one element of the Knicks team that we thought would be important that did show up in this game, was the rebounding. Their ability to rebound, obviously, at the end of the game, Hart seals the deal with a rebound after that real weird puzzling time where Nurse doesn't try and foul down 5 points with plenty of time left. But their ability to rebound, the ability to get points off the bench from their role players. Mitchell Robinson's defense, McBride's shooting. I mean, this team had a performance that ultimately, I mean, if you look at the bench, listen to this. Every single starter for the Knicks was a minus, plus minus. Every single starter, when they were on the floor, the Knicks were worse than the Sixers. All five starters in this game. The bench, Bogdanovich is plus 27. Mitchell Robinson is plus 20. And Deuce McBride is a plus 37. We talked about going into series, about what this Knicks team was. And before before Brunson became the superstar, before Randall went down and Brunson went nuts and was scoring 40 points a game and scoring 60 points, we talked about the idea of the overall team and the depth of this team. They're rebounding, yes, but some of the amount of shooters they have with now we've seen what McBride has. Hart, obviously, who was off the first three quarters of the game, miraculously gets hot in the fourth and is hitting big shot after big shot. But it was going to take the entire team because you go into a series not sure if the best player in the series is on the Knicks. And for the first half of this game, he wasn't. But I don't expect that to I expect that to change. This was the for me, this was the 76ers' shot to steal a game at the Garden. I feel uber confident with the way this team, I know you can't expect McBride to shoot exactly like this. I know you don't expect Bogdanovich to get hot at that time the same way he did in this game one. But ultimately, I don't expect, if you look at this game, Embiid played as good as I think he can play. Maxey played as good as he can play. Their two best players played the best game I think they're capable of. And this Knicks star, Jalen Brunson, played his worst. And yet it's a victory for the New York Knicks. So, yeah, it might not be McBride. It might have to be DiVincenzo. It might not be Bogdanovich. It might be Achiuwa. I don't know who will be. But the overall depth of this team is better than Philadelphia. And even when Brunson doesn't play his best game, it's still good enough to beat the best I think you'll see of Embiid and the best you'll see of Maxey, who was unstoppable getting to the basket, and it still wasn't good enough. For me, there is no excuse. I mean, this Knick team is just flat out better. And that wasn't even a good performance, and they came away with a victory. I expect this series, honestly, I know we all talked about it's supposed to be a hard-fought series. I hate to overreact to things. But for me, I thought there were elements of this game that completely went against what I had hoped to see and what I expected to see and some of the main key elements we expected to see from a Knick victory. It went. We were hoping for an Embiid who was useless. We were hoping for Jalen Brunson to be the best player in the court. We were expecting DiVincenzo to be a big part of this as the secondary scorer. And yet, none of that happened. They were careless with the basketball a lot, especially in the first half, which is sometimes a portent of poor things to come for this Knick team. And yet still, when it comes down to it, they out-rebound, they out-tough, they out-hustle, and they have enough shooters to even compensate from an off night from Brunson, who I do not think will have. I understand they played him tough. I understand they have length and they have size and they were adjusting some shots and certainly, you know, especially he was getting rejected at least three or four times from behind when he was trying to get to the basket and pull up for, you know, one of his short either fadeaways or quick jump shots. He was getting a lot of the shots he wanted. Some of them were adjusted or deflected. But, I mean, he just played an awful game. It happens. He was careless with the basketball. I thought he had moments in this game where he was awful. And yet still, the Knicks pull off a victory. And the Rangers, it wasn't nearly as, still Panarin, who you expect to have a big playoff, who has not been good for them inside the history of his tenure with the New York Rangers, has been bad in the playoffs. Obviously a great season. He gets off of the goal. But let's be honest, this game early on was a slog because of the refereeing. And because of how many penalties, and there was no rhythm to that first period whatsoever. But in the second period, it's that fourth line. It's Rempe with a goal. It's Vesey with a goal. Vesey with a goal. It's that group of secondary pieces for this Ranger team that came through and helped win this game against a lousy, let's be fair. I'm sorry, this should be a quick series. A lousy Washington team that is going to try and slow it down, right? Is going to try and play this game. Is going to try and make things difficult. But here's the point. Whatever the case may be, they can't score. This Ranger team is just too good. I know defensively there are times where this Ranger team will give up, odd man rushes and they'll have turnovers and they'll be careless with the puck. And it's happened before. It's been one of their you know, telltale signs of when things are going poorly. But ultimately, they scored one goal in this game, Washington Capitals, and went off two skates. And there really wasn't much going. And this is an older, slower team. And as long as this Ranger team does not get bogged down in the nonsense, as long as this Ranger team and Rempe, who had a penalty early on in this game, I'm not sure it was a penalty. I thought they were calling it pretty tight, especially in the first period. But as long as this team plays their game, as long as this team continues to kill the penalties, and as long as they don't allow this Washington team to draw them into something stupid, they're just far too good. And it's up and down the lineup. I know most of the scoring was done in the three-minute span of the second period. Kreider gets the goal late to really seal it. But it just looked like the Caps have no answers. Ovechkin's 38 years old. They don't have a lot of scoring on the team. Goalie's making his, you know, first playoff appearances. And I know it's only one game. And I don't want to get too excited about these two teams. But let's be honest. Watching these two teams, watching game one for the Knicks, I thought they played a game that I wouldn't have been surprised if they lost. I thought things lined up for Philadelphia, and yet still they played well enough to win and got a victory in game one. And the Rangers are just flat out better. And watching both of these games and watching the role players come through and watching the fourth line score for the Rangers and watching the bench be plus 27, plus 20, and plus 37 for the Knicks, I'm sorry. I'm feeling bold. I'm feeling good. And both of these Garden teams are lined up for, in my mind, quick series. Especially the Rangers. There is no doubt in my mind. And I've been talking about it for weeks. This Ranger team has got to get through this series quick. They just have to. Too many times we've seen this Ranger team struggle and play these hard-fought series. If they can just get through this series quickly and not have to, you know, expend all the energy it takes to go through a grueling seven-game series, which there is no reason for against this team, they'll come out the other side much, much better off. But Panarin comes out, scores a goal. He wasn't great in this game, but he gets the goal. He gets that off his back. He can get into a playoff series now and hopefully continue to play the same way he played all regular season long, which is the difference between previous Panarin, which was obviously always great for the Rangers in the regular season, and the difference we saw this year was his aggressiveness. And it wasn't always about making that extra pass. It was he had career highs in shots on goal. He had career highs on shot attempts. He had career highs in goals because he was more aggressive. And even in the goal he scored, he could have tried to make one last pass. And in previous playoffs, we've seen him do that. Instead, gets a little greedy, takes a shot himself. And so the Rangers get a hard-fought victory with the bench. Not the bench, but the fourth line and the role players doing their job. You get a goal from your two stars in Chris Kreider, who now leads the Rangers in almost all playoff statistics, and Panarin, who's their best player. And you move on, and hopefully this would be a quick series. Igor obviously played well again. He gives up one goal, goes off two skates. And right now, both of these teams, 30 years later, look like two teams that hopefully can go deep into this playoffs. And for me, game one's portell the sign of quick series for both teams. 877-337-6666. We'll get to the Mets, who continue to win, take another series out in L.A., played very well, but unfortunately, the injury bug does come to bite them, but it doesn't slow them down, that's for sure. We'll get to them as they head into San Francisco to start a series there tonight. And the Yankees, who everybody seems to think everybody's down on, nobody's happy with them, and yet all they do is keep plugging away, take another series from Tampa Bay, and I'll tell you why there is nothing to worry about Aaron Judge. So we got plenty to get to. We also got the Islanders, and they had a tough loss against Carolina. They'll play later tonight as well. We got the Knicks game tonight. I know Fliegelman's going to be having two televisions on. The entire series. You poor. I know we finished the show on Friday with it. You poor bastard. For all of you Islander Knicks fans, I know it's the world of DVR. I know it's the world of multiple televisions or your phone or your tablets. So, I mean, for most of you, you're going to be able to watch both. But there is nothing worse. I mean, these are huge games. These are playoff games. This is what we wait for all year long. This is it's as exciting as this town has seen, And really, that's really the open. The open is, it's been dreck around here for a long time. I know the Rangers have been in the playoffs. I know the Islanders went to two Eastern Conference Finals. I know the Knicks have been in the playoffs, but never this kind of enthusiasm. I've never felt it. I honestly feel like we could see both the Rangers and the Knicks headed to Eastern Conference Finals.